Well, hello, and thank you for joining us. And I hope that you're having a great day and that you've already heard from the Lord as you have had this day, and hope that you look forward to our hearing from Him together. And so as we come together before Him, let's go to Him in prayer. Father, thank you for the day that you have given to us. Father, for your sufficiency in all things. Lord, for your grace, your might, your power. And oh Lord God, we seek you. Lord, we need to hear from you. Father, we need to see you. Father, we need to be able to hear from you today in these times in which we live. Father, open our minds and our hearts. Draw us close to you, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we don't have to look very far to see how evil and wicked this world is. We certainly have all had personal encounters with very sinful people. We certainly see what the entertainment industry puts out. We watch the news and we see violence, we see fraud, we see corruption, we see betrayal. We see all kinds of things that tell us just how sinful this world is. And as we look at this, we wonder, how are we supposed to live in this world? What are we supposed to be doing? Well, as we open God's Word to Psalm 26, that's exactly what we find answered in this psalm. God's Word was never written in a time where you could live with rose-colored glasses. It was very honest about its times and very honest about its characters. We see this in the life of David. David had enemies, he had problems, he had attacks against him. And in this 26th Psalm, we see him as he prays about those things. But not only do we see him as he prays about these things, we see how he lived. And we see how we should live in these times so that we'll be in a position to pray and be in a position to experience God's strength and guidance. And so look with me as we look at Psalm 26. And we'll go ahead and read through the psalm in its entirety to begin with. It says, "Vindicate me, O Lord, for I have walked in my integrity, and I have trusted in the Lord without wavering. Examine me, O Lord, and try me. Test my mind and my heart, for your loving kindness is before my eyes, and I have walked in your truth. I do not sit with deceitful men, nor will I go with pretenders. I hate the assembly of evildoers, and I will not sit with the wicked. I shall wash my hands in innocence, and I will go about your altar, O Lord, that I may proclaim with the voice of thanksgiving and declare all your wonders. O Lord, I love the habitation of your house and the place where your glory dwells. Do not take my soul away along with sinners, nor my life with men of bloodshed, in whose hands is a wicked scheme and whose right hand is full of bribes. But as for me, I shall walk in my integrity. Redeem me and be gracious to me. My foot stands on a level place. In the congregation, I shall bless the Lord." How should we live in a very wicked world? Well, look and see how David lived. Look at the various elements that we see here. The very first one, the one I want us to build upon, is that element of trust and a commitment to trust. You think of what we see in the latter part of verse 1. David says, "And I have trusted in the Lord without wavering." David's saying, I put God first. He is my foundation. Not just the fact that God exists, that God is there, but a very real dependence and reliance upon Him. He returned to this theme in verses 9 through 11. "Do not take my soul away along with sinners, nor my life with men of bloodshed, in whose hands is a wicked scheme, and whose right hand is full of bribes. But as for me, I shall walk in my integrity. Redeem me and be gracious to me." David's life and decisions were based on who God is and what God had said. You know, just like we read in Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, where it says, "Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct your paths." We think about, where does it start for us to be able to experience God, and how would He have us to live in a very sinful time that we see around us everywhere? It starts with trust. And there's no way to live the Christian life in such a sinful world as the one we find ourselves in, except by trust. You think about Hebrews 11, that great hall of fame of faith chapters, we sometimes refer to it. You know, by faith this character did that, by faith this character did this. You know, you go back and you study the events that were described there, they were always very difficult times. always times filled with sinful people doing very sinful things, and yet the various characters live by faith. And so we need to live by faith. But not only do we need to live by faith, but that trust also needs to be seen in obedience. Again, verses 1 through 3, "Vindicate me, O Lord, for I have walked in my integrity, and I have trusted in the Lord without wavering. Examine me, O Lord, and try me. Test my mind and my heart, for your loving kindness is before my eyes, and I have walked in your truth." David has sought to be in faithful obedience unto the Lord from his heart out. That has been his intent and desire. That's what he means by integrity. I know when we hear the word integrity, we think of being honest and above board. And that's true, but that's really the application of the word, not really the definition. The definition of the word means the same throughout. And yes, that would be seen in walking with honesty. It would be seen in the way which you live, but it means to be the same throughout. That if you could look inside a person, what you would see in their heart would be the same thing that you would hear in their words, that you would see in their actions. Now, is David perfect? Absolutely not, even before the episode of Bathsheba. But it was his desire. He strove to walk in obedience unto the Lord, and when he fell, he dealt with it. We need to walk in obedience unto the Lord. We need to strive to seek and rely upon the Holy Spirit. And when we fail, and we will, we need to confess it. And by God's grace, start afresh and anew. But it needs to be the ongoing pattern of our lives, both in general, and it's interesting that David had walked this way before there was a problem. It's not that David suddenly encountered a problem and said, "Oh, I need to start obeying God." It was the pattern of his life before he encountered the problem. But then specifically within the problem, as we face the questions and decisions, what does God say? And then live that way. As you live your life, are you living in obedience unto the Lord? Are you trusting Him and obeying Him? And I love that order. And of course, think about the old hymn, "Trust and Obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus." We need to trust. We need obedience. We also need separation. We need separation unto the Lord. Separation is a word we don't use too much in Christian circles anymore, and that's a shame. But we need to understand that separation has two components. There's separation from, this is what we see in verses 4 and 5, "I do not sit with deceitful men, nor will I go with pretenders. I hate the assembly of evildoers, and will not sit with the wicked." Now, David here is not talking about callous self-righteousness. He's not talking about indifference. He's talking about allowing himself to be in a position to be influenced by sinful people, much like we saw back in the very first Psalm, in Psalm 1, who, you know, he talks about the man who is going to be blessed by the Lord, and he talks about how he does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of the scornful. He's talking there about being under their influence. And so David talks about how he has separated himself from those things, but he's also separated, and this is crucial to understanding separation. There's the separation too. And specifically, the separation to the Lord, verses 6 through 8. "I shall wash my hands in innocence, and I will go about your altar, O Lord, that I may proclaim with the voice of thanksgiving and declare all of your wonders. O Lord, I love the habitation of your house and the place where your glory dwells." He wants to walk with the Lord. He wants to be in fellowship with the Lord. He wants to be near to the Lord. Again, best illustration, in fact, is this is why God designed marriage. Marriage is to be a picture of this. A separation from all others unto that special one. We separate from the influence of sinful people to separate ourselves unto the Lord. And it's there that we experience His love and His strength and His guidance. And so we need trust, we need obedience, we need separation, but then we need worship. Both privately and publicly, we need to praise and honor Him. You think about what we read in verses 7 and then verse 12. "That I may proclaim with the voice of thanksgiving and declare all of your wonders." Verse 12, "My foot stands on a level place in the congregation. I shall bless the Lord." Do you hear what David's saying? David's saying, my goal in all this is not just to get out of the situation, My real deepest goal is to praise you before there's a problem, within the problem, and certainly afterward as you have dealt with the problem. And you think about the impact that would have. I don't mean being fakey or artificial. I'm talking about a real, sincere, heartfelt expression. Do you think of the impact that would have upon the lost? Do you think about the foundation that would lay for a genuine witness and testimony? Because the lost would see that, they would realize that our God is real. He is active. He loves his children, and he moves on their behalf. What a testimony that would be. In fact, is this the best testimony? When you can then base that upon God's word, it's the perfect opening. But also you think of the impact for the saved and encouragement for them to trust. We need to worship. I love what A.W. Tozer said as he talked about our salvation that God's given to us. Tozer wrote that God's goal in redemption is to turn rebels into worshipers. I want you to think about that for a moment. And are you fulfilling the purpose that God had in redeeming you, believer? It's to worship him. I love how David ends this psalm. He said, "My foot stands on a level place." He's absolutely confident. He's absolutely secure. He doesn't mention the problem being over with yet. But he knows that God will carry him, guide him, and bless him. He's in a position to be led and blessed by God. And God does that for those who seek him in that way, which is what we need to do. Like David, we need to trust, obey, separate, and worship our wonderful Lord. Let's go to him in prayer. Father, we do live in a very sinful world, and the days, O Lord, are dark and evil. But, O Lord, you're still the living God, sovereign and righteous, active and holy. And, O God, we seek you today. Lord, help us to walk with you. Help us to trust you. Lord, help us to walk in obedience. Help us to separate ourselves unto you. And, O God, may we always be worshipers, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I hope that you have a great day in the Lord.